from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for today is the Old Testament reading read earlier from Isaiah chapter 29. We read again verses 15 to 16. Ah, you who hide deep from the Lord your counsel, whose deeds are in the dark, and who say, who sees us and who knows us? You turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay, that the thing should say of its maker, he did not make me? Or the thing formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding? Dear Christian brothers and sisters, this is a sermon about hypocrisy. Now you might be wondering, Pastor, if hypocrisy is a subject, why didn't you choose the gospel reading from Mark, which is clearly about hypocrisy? You know, you have those bad Pharisees. They were prime examples of hypocrites, more concerned with washing their hands than taking care of their parents. Pastor, I know that sermon already. First, you give us a definition of hypocrisy. Let's see. It's the practice or pretense of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform. That's the definition. And then you tell us, Pastor, how we're all hypocrites. And maybe you admit that there's hypocrisy even in the church. And then you call us to repentance from our hypocrisy and tell us that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, including our hypocrisy. And then maybe you want to go out there a little bit. You tell us, don't do that hypocrisy anymore. Well, if that's the sermon you're expecting, you've just heard it. But what does this passage from Isaiah have to do with hypocrisy? Other than the fact that in today's gospel, Jesus quotes himself, really, in Isaiah, saying, this people draw near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me. I can connect that to hypocrisy pretty easily. But the rest of the passage seems obscure. In fact, maybe the clearest part of it is this. And the vision of all this has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed. A book that is closed. Sometimes we feel that way when we're reading Holy Scripture. I'll tell you, I sure felt that way back in seminary, my first day of Hebrew class. I couldn't even make out the letters. If the professor said to me that day, read this, I would have been the one saying, I cannot read. In fact, that day I discovered that my Hebrew Bible, which I had brought with me, was actually upside down. But gradually and patiently, that professor enlightened me. So fair enough. Perhaps the Holy Spirit will enlighten us a little bit today with what the prophet's saying. He starts out by talking about this vision of all of this. And at this point, maybe it's helpful to remember that the whole book of Isaiah starts out this way. It says, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, when he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. It's helpful to remember that all of Isaiah's vision is here. And we're only looking at just a little part of it. And if you want the full prose version of that, the history of those kings, check out the book of 2 Kings or the book of 2 Chronicles. But I'm only going to go to a little bit of the immediate context here. Now, you may remember King David and King Solomon. But after them, the kingdom was split. It was split into a northern kingdom of 10 tribes and a small southern kingdom of Judah with only 2 tribes. The capital was Jerusalem. Well, the northern kingdom fell into idolatry pretty quickly. And by 722 BC, the Assyrian army marched into Jerusalem, leveled the place, and deported all the people that they hadn't killed. Well, what of the small southern kingdom? It's still, at this point, threatened by the Assyrians, this big superpower to the north and east. And by now, Hezekiah is the king. And like all of us, Hezekiah has his ups and his downs with the Lord. Well, at this point, Hezekiah himself is upside down with the Lord because he's failing to trust in the Lord. And he can't see what Isaiah is talking about. But Isaiah says this is a vision. The vision of a prophet is what God reveals to him. Something that's going to happen, maybe in the future, or maybe what's happening right now. Now, you and I sometimes look back in our lives, we say, hindsight is 20/20. We can see what happened to us in the past, and maybe we can see how it's playing out now, or a little bit into the future. Well, a prophet like Isaiah can see that, and he can see forward too. It's like there's these panes of glass, one right after another. Clear panes of glass for him, but they're opaque to us. They're black. We can't see through them. That was the problem of Hezekiah. He couldn't see what God was doing in the world. So what did Hezekiah do? Well, he called all of his advisors together. And they got together in secret. What are we going to do? We've got this big Assyrian superpower up here to the north and east. Let's make a secret alliance with the Egyptians to our south and west. They'll help us. So when you read today what God says, what Isaiah says, "You who hide deep from the Lord your counsel, whose deeds are in the dark, and who say, 'Who sees us? Who knows us?'" That's who he's talking about. He's talking about Hezekiah and his advisors. Your wisdom? I'm going to turn your wisdom upside down, God said. That's what God does. The one we say, "Who sees us? Who knows us?" God knows. God knows. Well, in the very next pane of glass that Isaiah sees, he sees what's going to happen to Hezekiah. He sees what's going to happen to this alliance with Egypt. And he says, in the very next chapter, the very next pane of glass, it's going to fail. And that's what happens. The alliance with Egypt becomes a disaster. But Isaiah sees what's in the next pane of glass too, and the next and the next. God's going to do wonders. He's not going to leave Judah alone because he's made a promise to Judah. He's made a promise to King David. So that next pane of glass, which looks opaque again to Hezekiah, is black. He sees the Assyrian army coming. The Assyrian army that's going to surround Jerusalem. And Jerusalem's going to be alone. No alliances. No help. and God turns that upside down again when he wipes out all of the Assyrian army alone. That's what's in that next pane of glass. That's what's in that next part of history. History of these people from Judah. And there's much, much more to come. But what about our lives? And what does this have to do with hypocrisy anyway, Pastor? Well, as Jesus says, it has to do with what's going on in your heart. What is hypocrisy? When we say someone's a hypocrite, we say maybe they're two-faced. They say one thing to you in public, and they do another. Or they say something else about you behind your back. That's what hypocrisy is. It's acting differently than you say. In fact, the word hypocrisy comes from two Greek words which mean to pretend, in fact, to act in, as in a play. And in those ancient Greek plays, what did they do? They put on a mask. A mask to show the face of a different character. A different person that you see. There's something about putting on a mask. What mask do you put on today? What mask do you use to hide the real self? Is it a mask that you think God can't see through? Have you ever played peekaboo with a young child? A little, maybe two-year-old, who says, "You can't see me. You can't see me." Who is it who can't see? When you put on that mask, you can't see. When you put on the mask of trying to conform other people to your will and complaining about other people, why don't they do this? What are we not seeing? Jesus says, look at your heart. That's what you don't see. I see it. God sees your heart. He says, get rid of that mask and look at your heart. What's going on? That's how he turns us upside down. That's how he says to us, you're not who you think you are. You're not who you say you are. I know who you are. I formed you. And I didn't just form you out of some carbon and some nitrogen and some oxygen. I didn't just make you into this body. That's not it. I also made this. Your mind. I made your soul, your heart. So when you're busy washing this, I care about all of it. And so I'm going to turn your life upside down so you can see maybe a little bit more through those panes of glass. So you lose that mask. And how does God do that? In many and various ways. Through his word, he shows you what's coming through that next pane of glass in your life. And sometimes events in your life and the people who he places in your life. He shows you what's going on really. Who are you really being honest with? And maybe in an event in your life, maybe an event that's not so good, like illness or a strained relationship with someone you love or death. How's that for turning your life upside down? Death turns your life upside down, yours or somebody else in your life. And God's saying to you, I want you to know who I am. That heart of yours, which is hardened by your refusal to be honest with yourself and with me, I need to soften that a little bit. I want you to see through that next pane of glass what's going on in your life. Where am I in that? Where is God in that? That's how He turns your life upside down. So maybe you can understand the next time where He is and who you are in Him. Somebody who's been baptized and started to be conformed to Him. He takes that clay and makes it a little softer so He can mold it to His likeness. The likeness of Jesus Christ Himself. Not just alone, but with all the other people around you in your life. The other people in the body of Christ. That's what He's doing when He turns you upside down. And that thing that we don't like, that death, that's where He went. For you and for me. Talk about turning something upside down. Wonder of wonders. He went to the cross for you. To turn you upside down. Does that turn you upside down? It turns you right side up. And so that your death is combined with His. And your resurrection, which turns death upside down, is combined with His resurrection. So that you can see what that next pane of glass is, maybe. And you can see to the end, that final pane of glass. Your own resurrection in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how He turns your life upside down. And right side up. God grants this to us because of Jesus. Amen.